Welcome to We Fish ASA. My name is Steve Sterley, and the guy sitting on my right is my partner, Dave Kranz. We Fish ASA is always pleased to offer you a conversation with the most interesting, the most informative, the most entertaining, as well as some of the biggest names in the world of fishing. We Fish ASA is brought to you by the proud industry members of the American Sport Fishing Association, in particular, St. Croix, the best rods on earth, Calcutta, makers of a line of products that fit your fishing lifestyle and passion, Costa Sunglasses, see what's out there, and Daiwa. Take a look at the new Tatula SV Reel. You'll love it as much as we do here at We Fish ASA. We Fish ASA presents a new episode of our one-hour podcast each and every week. It's available 24/7 at iTunes, via the free app from Stitcher Radio, and at our website, wefishasa.com. We Fish ASA is recorded and produced at Berserk Productions in Schaumburg, Illinois. Our engineer producer is Brad Nearman. Thanks, Brad. On today's show, we are going to welcome some very, very special people. We're going to be talking to Jeremy Smith. He's a member of the Lindner Enterprises Group. Having a hard time talking this morning. But Jeremy Smith has been on with us before, and he just always delivers some totally incredible information. We're going to talk to a guy who is in charge of publicity for FLW, the fastest growing professional bass circuit in the United States, Joe Opinger, and he is going to talk to us about a very, very special program they're running for high school anglers that I think everybody will know somebody that they want to turn on to this program. And then the hottest name in the world of fishing, Jordan Lee. Two Bassmaster Classics in a row. There's no more to say about Jordan Lee than that, and we'll be excited to have him on in just a few minutes. But right now, I'm excited to introduce, on behalf of St. Croix, the best rods on earth, Mr. Jeremy Smith. Hi, Jeremy. How are you?
I'm great. Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem. We've enjoyed having you before. My goodness, when you've been on with us, I get emails from people saying, have that guy on more often. I know you spoke at Walleyes Unlimited down here in Wisconsin, Illinois. And I still talk to guys that say, hey, man, that guy was so good. That was a year ago, and you still got them talking about how well you did. So we're excited to have you. And we're going to clear up some misconceptions in a lot of people's minds, including my own, because when I start thinking about fish with whiskers, catfish, I'm thinking about warm weather. I don't know, July, August turned my mind to thinking about catfish, and I'm totally wrong about that, aren't I?
Well, you know, cats, we've really found, like a lot of fish, we're learning that they bite year-round. In fact, we filmed episodes of catfish through the ice, and some places in Minnesota, it's actually gotten to be a big deal where you hear people talking about the cat bite through the ice. So, yes, of course, the warm water period is a great time to catch cats, but they're catchable 365.
You know, this is totally nothing to do with what you're going to talk about, but I was talking to a charter captain out of North Point Marina on Lake Michigan, just south of the Wisconsin border, and he told me last year he pulled a 4-pound channel cat out of Lake Michigan trolling for lake trout in 200 feet of water.
Wow, that's amazing. And it just goes to show you there's so much to learn about fish still.
That just emphasized exactly what you said. It's unbelievable. These fish are all over the place, and I think we should be spending a little bit more time on them.
Yeah, I mean, they're just, the thing about cats, like, you know, a lot of people, oh, you're going catfish. No, heck, you know, bottom fish. Every person who ever taken catfishing loves the experience. They want to do it again. We spent some time on the famous Red River of the North that has the largest average channel catfish anywhere in the world. And we've got a lot of smaller rivers, and we're seeing cats in the Mississippi River now, even up as far as Grand Rapids, Minnesota, where traditionally you were thinking of channel cats in southern Minnesota near the Iowa border, but now they've made their way all the way north to north central Minnesota. And there's some great opportunities. And right now in my hometown, if you were to go out, it's snowing right now. We're supposed to get 5 inches of snow, but I can guarantee you right now that if you went out catfishing in the Mississippi River, chances are very, 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 very high that you would be able to catch cats today.
And, you know, being in Northern Illinois where my retail store is, people are always amazed. It's like, what's biting walleye right now? What can I catch? And I, as soon as that ice starts going out, I said, go catfishing. Use cut bait. All these pieces of fish and shad that have died off over the winter get stuck in the ice. As they come out, they put on this feeding frenzy in the spring. And I believe that's in every river across the country, isn't it, Jeremy?
Oh, I think so. Yeah. You know, we've had great catfish bites right at ice out, whether, you know, it's a reservoir. Some of the reservoirs we look at, just like you'd go looking for crappies in the spring where you're looking at back bottom bays. A lot of times we found fish where they're not necessarily in the fast current. They end up being in these shallow, warmer water places where we could catch them with floats, just drifting cut bait, like you mentioned, or crawlers across the bay. You end up hooking a lot of cats. And, of course, anywhere you've got barriers, dams or natural barriers, really concentrate catfish. A lot of them tend to winter there, and they really get biting again in the spring. You've got another push of fish that fish just follow the flow, and so a lot of fish just go as far upstream as they can until they hit a barrier. So now is a really prime time to get out and start chasing cats.
That's interesting. You said on a float. So a lot of people think cats, they think bottom. They think of a weight on the bottom, whether that's an egg sinker or a river sinker. But do you fish them with a float throughout the whole season?
You can catch cats on float pretty much year-round from my experience. Oftentimes, if they're really, you know, tight to cover or something like that, you are better off to fish on the bottom. But in the spring is a great time of year when you can be better off fishing a float as opposed to something that's stationary. The fish might be moving around this bay. They're not idle. They're not easy to pin down. So having a cork that you can, say, set up your boat, anchor up or tailing down near shore, and just kind of let that cork go with the wind, working down with the wind, you'll start to find areas where the fish are hitting and cover water, where if you're just fixed on the bottom, you might let it sit for 10 minutes before you pick it up again. But catfish are willing to hit moving baits. We catch them late in the fall before ice up. We basically drag around jigs or Lindy rigs with cut bait, where we put the trolling motor on a half a mile an hour and we start buzzing around the river channel, and we catch catfish. So the idea that you have to be stationary on the bottom to catch cats all the time isn't necessarily true. Of course, there are times when the fish do like a stationary bait, but many times you can catch cats on moving presentations.
So what you're describing is not catfish on brush piles or something like that, but actually structure like you would be fishing for walleye.
Well, yeah. So, and, you know, when I'm referring to kind of like the reservoir deal, one particular place comes to mind, but they're not on really relating to any type of cover. It's more of a bottom composition. It's dark water. And so the fish just, all they're looking for is warm water. So whether you're fishing catfish or crappies or carp or any critter in the spring, many times the thermometer on your depth finder is the best tool you have. And when you get those temperature gradients of, say, 5 to 10 degrees, that are different from other parts of the lake that are warmer, it calls the life in. All the life goes to those places, and cats are one of those critters that get in there too.
So what are we using for line, and what type of hooks do you prefer on early spring catfish bite, say with cut bait or crawlers or whatever you're using?
Yeah, so of course it depends on the size of the fish and the, and I'm talking about channel cats here now for the most part, but, you know, a lot of times I'm fishing with like a size 3,000 reel and like a 7-foot medium heavy fast action rod with 20 pound braid on it. That's kind of the setup I'd use. And then I'll maybe run, in case there is a chance of a break off, I'll run like a 15 pound monofilament leader, and a 5-aught octopus hook is pretty much your go-to. A couple split shots and a cork and away you go.
Is there a certain time in the spring that it's really better? Is that ice out better than later and as the water warms? But I guess what I'm asking, is there any time that you really can't fish for them?
Well, no, not necessarily. I mean, as we get into June, you know, then when the fish start spawning, they can kind of get a little tricky, but catfish spawn in warmer water. So, you know, that cool water period is definitely the time to go. Now, there can be days. I mean, if it was, say, you know, the ice went out 3 or 4 days ago and you've been on this warming trend where it's in the 60s or 70s and it's been sunny and warm, and all of a sudden you're 3 days where it's been 50 degrees and raining, and that those bites, of course, can go south and they can be difficult to catch. And a lot of times it's just because where you were fishing them, the water might have been really warm because those areas warm quickly, but they also cool quickly. So the the fish can vacate, and you'll have to start looking in other locations.
Is there any time that the channel cats prefer a live bait?
You know, I've caught cats. You know, I can't say that I've ever had a time frame where I'm like, this is absolutely the way to go. But in some of the ice fishing I've done for them, I found that like a couple fatheads that are dead and smashed with one that's live, like tail hook, just kicking a little bit, tends to do well. Also in the fall, a lot of times I'm fishing with sucker minnows that are whole, and I'll just drag them around. So, you know, I don't have enough experience with them to say that, you know, at this particular day, this time, you got to have live bait versus cut bait. Most of the time with cats, it seems like if you get something that seems like food in front of them, they're willing to cooperate.
Wow, that's amazing. What about water clarity?
Oh boy, that's a great topic. So one thing about catfish and sturgeon in particular too, we've got the rainy river bite that's going on right now, and you'll see a lot of guys will leave rivers because the river blew out, it got dirty, the bite's totally done. Catfish and sturgeon, I mean, they're so good at interpreting what's in their environment without vision that they tend to still bite when you get dirty water. So those are the great times to take advantage of that. You've got the weekend plan, you're planning on heading to the river, oh my gosh, it's all mud, the bite's totally hosed. Those can be still great times to catch bottom fish like cats and sturgeon and other things like that. So
I was always surprised to hear about that Red River bite, which is tremendous, and I've seen it on TV before. And I normally think every drop of water in Canada is gin clear, you know? And but that Red River is not gin clear. It's more indicative of river water that we would see in other places, and that's why that makes that so good.
Yeah, the system is extremely fertile. It drains, you know, all the agriculture from basically the eastern half of the Dakotas and the western half of Minnesota, which is, you know, all ag, all the way up into, there's ag all the way through Selkirk in Manitoba. And the system's just extremely fertile. Those fish are just big. And what's interesting about that system is the further north you go, the larger the fish seem to be. So as a whole, the largest fish in the Red River system are in Selkirk, between the Lockport Dam and Lake Winnipeg. And it's like once you kind of get to like the Pelland area, the fish seem like they drop in top end size by about 5 pounds. And you get to Grand Forks, they get a little smaller. You get down to Fargo, they get a little smaller. And then, of course, as you get into the tributaries like the Otter Tail and stuff, they're still really nice fish. But the really big ones seem to be at the bottom end where it meets the lake.
Well, let's spend that gas money and do that little extra drive. Hey, man, thanks for covering for our friend Dan Johnson today on this segment that's always sponsored by St. Croix. We really appreciate having a superstar in the world of fishing like Jeremy Smith join us whenever you can make it. And I'll let the people in on the fact that you're going to be with us again next week. So 2 weeks in a row, Jeremy Smith pinch hitting for Dan Johnson. He better watch himself. He could be losing his gig if he doesn't watch out.
Well, I appreciate it. Dan talked to me at the Northwest Sports Show, and he said I might need some help with the podcast. I'm going to be traveling, and I was honored that you guys let me jump on.
Hey, we appreciate it. We'll check in next week. Jeremy Smith. Catch him at lindermedia.com, anglingedge.com. He is incredible, as is St. Croix, the best rods on earth. We Fish ASA. We'll be right back.
Do you have a tackle box filled with scissors, nail clippers, knives, and snippers for cutting different kinds of fishing line? Well, throw them all away. Instead, use the Stingray Line Cutter. It's quick, easy, and effective. Mount it on your tackle box, the side of your boat, or wear it around your neck. The Stingray Line Cutting System cuts all lines and never fails. It's got double stainless steel blades, it's built to last, and it's affordable. Find out more at www.stingraylinecutter.com.
The world gets duped every time. Some new invention or technology comes along and we're told it's all to make life simpler. It's always the exact opposite, isn't it? Fortunately, we still have fishing, the simple drama of you at one end of a line and a fish at the other end. Of course, more often than not, there's a St. Croix rod in between. St. Croix,
Handcrafted fishing rods for over 65 years. St. Croix, the best rods on earth.
Costa, we've been on this journey since 1983. Born from necessity on Florida's coast, we're a high-performance eyewear maker obsessed with the evolving technology of our products. Protecting the environments where our gear is used and inspiring people to see what's out there. Costa.
Welcome back to We Fish ASA. We are brought to you by the proud industry members of the American Sport Fishing Association. And this segment is brought to you by Calcutta, an outdoor company that builds gear and apparel for those with a passion for the outdoors. Our guest is somebody we've not had on before, but I consider him a good friend of the show. He's helped us out with guests. They help promote us on their website, and it's a big deal for us because he's a mover and shaker with FLW, the fastest growing fishing tournament circuit in the world. He is Joe Opager. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. Thanks so much for having me on.
You're quite welcome, and you do a great job because you're a definite major cog in the FLW wheel that's getting this thing to grow at hyper speed like it's growing right now.
Absolutely. We are starting to get almost midway to the through the tournament season this year. And yeah, participation has been through the roof. Media coverage has been through the roof. And, you know, it's truly, you know, thanks to programs like your own, you know, and featuring these FLW Tour pros and helping us get the word out about our events and the great anglers that we showcase in the bass fishing world.
You do have some really, really good stars in your world. And I know it's hard to get guys to sign up, and then guys want to fish other tournaments, and it's tough to balance. But the guys who fish primarily FLW, and we've had a lot of your good guys and a lot of your winners on, and still have a wish list of more, have represented you really well. Some of the, you know, the Roses and the Thrifts and the Dudleys, my goodness, you got some really top dogs out there.
Absolutely. You know, the FLW Tour truly showcases the top bass anglers in the world. You know, a lot of them have been guests on the show, but, you know, we're making new stars each year as well. So coming up next, In a week and a half, will be our next tour event at Lake Cumberland in Kentucky. And, you know, we're just excited to get back over there, catch some monster smallmouth, and see what happens there as well.
Excellent. Oh, and you know what? I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but my partner right here, Dave Kranz, he's making a big jump, and he's fishing your Costa Circuit this year. And we're really excited. We're really excited about that, and we'll be you know, we won't even have to call you for phone numbers for guests because I'll be interviewing Dave when he wins every time out, you know?
Hey, that's great to hear. Ron Lappin, the head tournament director for the Coast Series, you know, he's beloved by anglers across the country. So I know that Dave is in good hands in that Costa Series. But I tell you what, it's not an easy competition, that's for sure. That Costa Series features some of the best regional anglers as well as some of the top pros, you know, in the country. So best of luck to you, Dave. I haven't really heard. How have you done so far this year?
I am fishing the Northern Division, so they're still frozen up there. Lake Champlain, sure. Thousand Islands, and Eastern Lake Erie. And I was actually encouraged by one of your anglers. I fished ICAST Cup with Alex Davis a couple of years, and Alex asked me, he says, why aren't you fishing at a higher level? Why don't you play this game? So this year I'm going to do it out of the We Fish ASA podcast boat, so it'll help create awareness for this, help create awareness for the industry and the FLW, so we're excited about it.
Hey, that's great. Yeah, we're wrapping up our Southeastern Division next week at Sandy Cooper. And then after there, we're heading up north, and we're going to open up that Northern Division. So best of luck to you this season. I'll be following and watching from afar as well. And, you know, I do a lot of work with these top finishers and winners. So hopefully I'm talking to you and getting some media coverage for you as well.
There you go. Hey, you know what? I got a million questions for you, Joe, and I can go on and on. But I'm going to ask you if we can get together again in another couple weeks to talk about FLW and maybe recap the next tournament. But I'm very excited about an email that I got, a press release from FLW announcing something that you guys are doing, you're promoting, you're staging, that is incredible. You here announced your inaugural summer camp for high school fishing anglers, sponsored by FLW, sponsored by Costa, and it's a chance for these young high school anglers to come to a four-day camp in July on a great body of water and to work with some of the top pros in the business. Tell us all about this.
Absolutely. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. This four-day all-inclusive camp is something that, gosh, I really wish was around, you know, when I was in high school. You know, I'm not even that old of a guy yet, but I feel like the sport has come so far in the past few years. And, you know, we're really excited to kick off this year, as you mentioned, the inaugural high school fishing summer camp. It's going to be hosted by Murray State University, right on the shores of Kentucky Lake, near the home of FLW. And this camp is designed for the serious high school fishing angler. And it's also, you know, parents and coaches as well that want to gain an edge on the competition. They're going to get hands-on bass fishing experience from some of the top names in the sport. It's really a cool opportunity for these kids.
I have a passion for that. I coached some high school teams here in Illinois. And one of the kids that worked for me that I had coached actually fishes for Murray State. He's down there now, and he's done quite well for himself, as well as getting some of those college credits paid by fishing. And I just think, I have said this over and over, the high school and collegiate bass fishing is the biggest thing that has happened to our industry in at least a decade, and I look forward to helping it and promoting it, and it's going to be just an awesome thing. And to see companies like FLW and Costa to do this kind of thing is just wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, we're really excited to just work with these young anglers. I mean, these are the future tournament competitors of the coming years. So, you know, at this camp, they're going to be learning from pros like Scott Martin and the reigning Forcewood Cup champion Justin Atkins, Brian Thrift, Andy Morgan. All these guys are going to be there running classes, and the classes and sessions are going to be on great relevant information like boating safety, etiquette on the water, you know, electronics, lures and rod building and equipment basics and fish care off the water. So it's really going to continue to develop the sport in a way that's positive for everybody. From FLW, you know, we're generating all these new anglers. We're taking these new anglers and we're showing them the right way to do things. And it's going to be a great event and a lot of fun.
I think one of the things you said there, etiquette on the water, you need to do that because these guys are young. The high school, college guys, they don't have years and years of experience. When we started, well, you didn't even start winning dollars for quite a few years because we didn't get in it at that age. So those are things that need to be taught. These kids have the skills. They have the knowledge. They can watch YouTube videos. I'm amazed that 16, 17-year-old kids can do every technique in the world because they watch it, they learn it, and then they go out and practice it. They work hard. But the most amazing thing I've seen is how professional these kids are at representing our industry and the sponsors that they will have and do have.
Absolutely. And that's going to be a big part of the camp as well, is all of those on the water classes will be going on, but there's also going to be a lot of off the water stuff going on as well. And it's going to be sessions about careers in the outdoor industry. You know, maybe you don't have the skills to become a professional angler at the top level, but there's still a lot that you can do behind the scenes, jobs like my own, you know, working in public relations or marketing or social media stuff. And so there's going to be a lot of classes for those kids as well. And then, you know, for the parents and the coaches, there's going to be sessions offered on developing those high school fishing teams. And, you know, some of the courses there are going to be, you know, fundraising for your teams and how different ways that and programs that you can do to get some money in the coffers for your high school fishing club. You know, another one's going to be tournament logistics, and it's going to teach you how to run these club tournaments for your club and how to advance them on into the Bass Pro Shops High School Fishing Opens and the TBF State Championship events. So it's really kind of all just a stepping stool. We're building brick by brick, and we're starting at that bottom layer with these kids.
Joe, you just blew my mind talking about the classes for the adults, because I honestly have never really thought about that. I know people volunteer. They call the school, hey, do you start a fishing club? You know, can I be in it? What, they have no idea what the logistics are, what the rules and regs are. People start to, what is there insurance involved? You know, it'd be nice to have a handbook to do this. And then, of course, the next thing is sponsors. Okay, I use this lure. Let me send a letter to this company and ask them for some lures. There's got to be a better program, a better footprint to follow, and you've got that. And I really like the career thing with the kids, because there's so much of that going on. I went to a seminar that the Lindners put on up in Minnesota about careers in the fishing industry, and I got to talk to a lot of kids were there. I got to talk to them, and you know, everybody wants to be the next David Dudley or the next Al Lindner. You know, I can catch fish, I can do that. And everybody's telling you, finish your education. It's really important. And they're not saying, you know, your chances of being David Dudley are one in a million, so you need something to fall back on. They don't tell you that because they don't want to tell you you're going to fail, but they're telling you, hey, we're going to set you up for success in a number of ways. Maybe you're not going to like the fishing, the lifestyle, the road, the eating gas station sandwiches starting out. Maybe you'd rather be a rep for a boat company, you know, and they've never thought of that. And for you to expose them to that and get people in the industry to talk to them about that, always remembering, and I know you know this, that furthering your education is the most important. You're doing a great service for these kids and setting them up to look at the rest of their life with a long-term view.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many opportunities. I love fishing, but I could never get on the water and compete against these guys. I would be, you know, throwing my money away. So, you know, I came up a different way. I was a fairly good writer, and I was always interested in fishing in the outdoors. So I learned how to work in public relations. And, you know, that's where I focused my track in college, and I earned a degree in that. And got my foot in the door at FLW at an internship and slowly worked my way in. And so, you know, we're going to teach guys that you don't have to be the best angler, you know. Maybe you're a great photographer. Well, I tell you what, there's a lot of opportunities for freelance photographers, or, you know, our magazine staff is always hiring. Our website is always looking for guys to cover tournaments. So maybe you're a great writer, and we're going to send you down to Florida to cover, you know, a coast event on Lake Okeechobee. So there's a lot of opportunities available off the water as well, and that's going to be a big part of this camp, that's for sure.
Hey, folks. Open your eyes. FLW is coming. They're big. They're growing exponentially, and you've got to follow them. They've got some of the best anglers, the best personalities. And when they announce they're doing something like this high school kid, high school fishing camp for high school anglers, they're just leading the league at innovative ideas. Check them out at FLW.com. Joe Opager, I'd like to thank you for being with us for the first time, and I guarantee you, at least from our end, it won't be the last time. I plan on dialing your number again in the next couple of weeks to catch up with you.
That sounds great. I will be ready to go whenever you need me.
Excellent. Joe Opager from FLW, great organization. Thanks for being with us. This segment was brought to you by Calcutta, an outdoor company that builds gear and apparel for those with a passion for the outdoors. We Fish ASA will be right back.
The outdoors is more than just a profession for us here at Big Rock Sports. As avid anglers, hunters, and outdoor enthusiasts, it's our passion. So advocating on behalf of the outdoor sporting goods industry is a top priority for us. Big Rock Sports is proud to serve as the voice and advocate of outdoor sporting goods retailers across the nation. Big Rock Sports works tirelessly to protect our fisheries and anglers' rights. Big Rock Sports, we are here for you.
Costa, built by hand, the clearest lenses on the planet deserve frames that can take you to the ends of the earth and back. That's why we build ours with components that are tough enough to perform under almost any conditions and from cutting-edge materials that help us preserve the environment. Costa.
Bass anglers have heard it all when it comes to manufacturers having the best casting reel. Well, Daiwa can back it up with the Tatula SV. The Tatula SV has three key features that make it the most versatile casting reel on the market today. The SV spool is a lightweight aluminum spool allowing for long control, light lure casting. Mag4Z gives you the option to set a precise casting range no matter what lure or wind situation. The Daiwa T-Wing system reduces line angle and friction when casting. Distance, control, and finesse like no other reel on the market. Tatula, the ultimate finesse long cast system designed by Daiwa. Welcome back. We Fish ASA is brought to you by the proud industry members of the American Sport Fishing Association. Don't forget, you can follow us out, follow us on Facebook. Go there, share us, like us, do all that social media stuff. But most of all, tell your friends to listen to us. You can listen to us at iTunes via the free app at Stitcher Radio or on the website We Fish ASA. This is really exciting. We had this guy on last year. And we're about a year to the date for having him on for the second time, and there is good reason. We had him on last year because this young fellow won the Bassmaster Classic, and guess what? He won his second Bassmaster Classic in a row. This is a rarity, and he's just a young man, a nice fella, but man, can he fish? We Fish ASA is excited to bring back Jordan Lee. Welcome, Jordan. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on again, and Hopefully, we can be on it every year. I can be on it. Come back next year as well.
You know, they're already saying, I'm hearing people say it, that if you were to win this a third time in a row, they'll stop calling it the Bassmaster Classic and it'll just be the Jordan Lee Open. I don't know. Could they do that?
I don't know about that. But two in a row, yes. It's been really special. Just really worked out.
It's fantastic, and I know we're dying to ask you questions about the tournament, about what it's like standing on the stage. I was watching it the way, and I had goosebumps. I was like, going, he can't. There is no way he can do this. Until they handed you that trophy, I just didn't think it was going to happen. Did you ever have that feeling like, no, this is surreal, I can't be doing this, or did you have some confidence cooking?
You know, I mean, it was really a surreal moment. I mean, just because it was really the same scenario as last year. I wasn't near the lead going in the final day at all. And, you know, the really good fishermen ahead of me. So, I mean, you're going in that last day, you know, you're hoping for the best, but you're not guaranteed anything. And it's not, you don't expect the leaders to struggle like they did. So yeah, I mean, it was completely surreal again, and it just, like I said, it just went my way.
I loved watching you, and I loved the drama of the whole thing. I watched Edwin Evers, and I could see he was upset. I think he was really upset with himself and disappointed. And Edwin's such a happy, upbeat guy, and I've never seen that look on his face. I felt so bad. It was so dramatic. And then after it was over and the guy's patting you on the back, and that, for Pete's sake, Gerald Swindle was like you were his son. He was so proud of you. He's hugging you, and the look on his face, I was going, wow, this is it. It was bona fide reality. You know, there's no phony, hey, congratulations, whatever. He was pleased for you.
Yeah, you know, they all were. I mean, you know, to be so close to that tournament and not win it, I mean, it sucks. You know, it's tough. I mean, I feel for the guys that were, you know, close. I mean, it's just part of the game. You know, I've been close several times, and I, as far as in the elite tournaments, and, you know, that's any tournament you go into, you want to win, and all of them that were right there. I mean, they all congratulated me at some point. You know, Gerald, like you said, he was the first one to congratulate me, and Kevin and Edwin and you know, everybody. I mean, they're genuinely happy for me, and you know, that means a lot. And you know, a lot of them have been in that situation, and I mean, it's just it's a great place to be, and a great, it's awesome to pull it off again. So,
Jordan, at some some point in the morning, did you realize that the fishing had changed, that it wasn't as good as it was those previous 2 days?
Well, you know, I mean, I was fishing predominantly, I mean, catching my fish, trying to catch my bigger fish off the boat docks. And, you know, the day before, the second day, I had a little tougher day. I never caught a large amount of day, had all spotted bass. So, you know, I was hoping for the I was wanting to be warm. I was wanting to be sunny. And that last day, it was slick. It was sunny. That's tough for moving baits. That's tough for those fish to, you know, the way that the guys were fishing, you know, that makes things tougher. And they, you know, they had cloudy and windier conditions. Those fish are roaming around a lot more. But when that sun's out and it's slick, it's hot, you know, that really played into what I was doing. Those fish set up on those boat docks down the lake, and there's the right size too. So, but yeah, I knew from the spectators, and knew from, you know, a few other people. You know, Robbie Floyd that came up and was doing. I knew it changed. You know, I knew the guys. Some guys were not catching that great, but you know, I didn't dream of it being that tough on, you know, the top three or top four.
Was that surprising to you that they didn't adjust to that and realize sooner that it was that tough of a day, and maybe they should have changed up a little bit instead of swinging for the fences?
Well, I mean, not really. I mean, they know what they're doing. I mean, they're not, you know, Edwin and Jason and, you know, James Elam. I mean, they all know what they're doing. They call them good the last 2 days, and, you know, it's hard to adjust. It's hard to just say, hey, I'm just going to quit with, you know, something totally different that I haven't even tried before on the last day of the Classic. You know, and you only have 8 hours, and it goes by quick. You know, I mean, you're out there, and all of a sudden you look down, and it's 11 o'clock. So it's hard to, you know, you got a lot of pressure. You know, if you're up there in the lead, a lot of spectators, it's hard to make those adjustments. And you know, it's always those kind of what ifs after the tournament. But yeah, I mean, it just really just went my way. The conditions, you know, the weather, everything like that. I mean, it was all leaning on my side that last day.
Amazing, it certainly was. Personally, I wanted to ask you. I love when you guys head north and you're in smallmouth waters, because I understand the difference between fishing for largemouth and fishing for smallmouth. And I like to see you guys, and a lot of guys don't have a lot of smallmouth experience, and I like to see when you're faced with that challenge of a fish that behaves totally differently. I know nothing about fishing for spots. My partner Dave does. Tell me, what are the subtleties of fishing for spots as opposed to fishing for largemouth? What do you do different? What are the differences in those two particular types?
You know, spotted bass are a lot more offshore oriented. You know, they're not, you don't, you know, when you go to the bank, usually the largemouth are shallow, at least, you know, around cover, docks and grass, wood, whatever, you know, target kind of places. And spotted bass are, you know, they're similar to small, but a lot of lakes that we finish have like brush piles or, you know, for deeper kind of structure, and they really relate to that year round. I mean, they don't go up in the pockets. They stay out kind of on points. And, you know, the places I found them on were a couple road beds, and one was kind of like a saddle, deep water. You know, they like being around that deep water. You know, it's kind of the places that I look for them. But yeah, they're totally different. You know, they're their own species, so they relate a little bit different. But they're aggressive. They're, you know, they're real aggressive, like smallmouth. So, you know, even on tough days and things like that, I mean, you can pick up a few of those a little easier than a largemouth.
I want to ask you, you know, we talked about people congratulating you and everybody being happy for you. I got to throw another name at you and ask you how this guy reacts. There's a fellow that's done real well fishing, but not quite as well as a Jordan Lee, and he goes by the name of Matt Lee. Is he happy for you? Is he busting your chops? Do you feel bad for him?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Matt had a great year last year. He did really well and much put on a show the last half of the season. But he had quite a few top 12s and, you know, coming in this tournament, fourth. I mean, he's definitely on a roll. Did well in the first elite tournament. I mean, he's been putting it on me last year, and I mean, for us both to be in the top five in the Classic, I mean, you know, we both want to win, and it just happened to be my time again.
Do you travel in room with Matt?
We did for the first year or two. You know, we traveled together, but now we have the ladies coming, and so we travel separate.
Yeah. If I was you and I was rooming with Matt, I'd be sleeping with one eye open, you know? Where you're not going to eliminate some of the competition.
No, we're not too tough on each other. You know, we pull for each other. I mean, you know, we definitely want both of – we like seeing both of us do well. And so, like I said, you know, we pull for each other for sure.
All right. Do you guys strategize together? Do you sit and dissect the water, talk about it?
Yeah, we talk about it. You know, we call each other in practice and just say, hey, you know, you know, he tells me, hey, I caught a 3-pounder on, you know, on a swim jig on the main lake. And we kind of just talk to each other and, you know, nothing, we didn't even see each other in the tournament lake. So we don't really mention areas, but we kind of talk about the fishing and, you know, see how kind of practice has gone. And I feel like that helps us out too, just to kind of get a feel for how it's fishing.
You know, it's almost like you think, oh, two guys from the same family, and they're on the top of the hill in Bassmasters. Maybe it's genetic. Well, I know that really can't be, but it's probably more conditioning and upbringing. I'm sure whoever taught you guys to fish on the way up, a family situation's got to be smiling because they got to be able to take some credit for you guys.
Well, it's funny you say that. I mean, we actually, you know, I mean, I started out fishing just, you know, just small local tournaments, I mean, by myself. I mean, I had a few friends in high school that fished, and, you know, I fished tournaments with them, but nobody in our family actually tournament fishes. So, you know, it's just us. I mean, and we just learned on our own. I mean, that's something about this sport, something about bass fishing. I mean, you can... The more time you spend on the water, you know, the more you learn. And I spent a lot on the water growing up. And my parents, you know, definitely, that I loved it growing up. And, you know, they knew that it was something I wanted to do. And, you know, I just fished a lot. And my time on the water, I mean, that's what, you know, kind of grew up fishing a lot of tournaments.
Well, you obviously spent that time on the water very productively because, man, you know what you're doing. I need to take a break for a couple of commercials here. Hey, folks, when we come back, We Fish ASA is going to get to spend more time with Bassmaster Classic winner Jordan Lee. Not one Bassmaster Classic, two in a row, Jordan Lee. We'll be right back.
You have a tackle box filled with scissors, nail clippers, knives, and snippers for cutting different kinds of fishing line? Well, throw them all away. Instead, use the Stingray Line Cutter. It's quick, easy, and effective. Mount it on your tackle box, the side of your boat, or wear it around your neck. The Stingray Line Cutting System cuts all lines and never fails. It's got double stainless steel blades, it's built to last, and it's affordable. Find out more at www.stingraylinecutter.com.
Bass anglers have heard it all when it comes to manufacturers having the best casting reel. Well, Daiwa can back it up with the Tatula SV. The Tatula SV has three key features that make it the most versatile casting reel on the market today. The SV spool is a lightweight aluminum spool allowing for long control light lure casting. Mag4Z gives you the option to set a precise casting range no matter what lure or wind situation. The Daiwa T-Wing system reduces line angle and friction when casting. distance, control, and finesse like no other reel on the market. Tatula, the ultimate finesse long cast system designed by Daiwa.
The world gets duped every time. Some new invention or technology comes along and we're told it's all to make life simpler. It's always the exact opposite, isn't it? Fortunately, we still have fishing, the simple drama of you at one end of a line and a fish at the other end. Of course, more often than not, there's a St. Croix rod in between. St. Croix, handcrafted fishing rods for over 65 years. St. Croix, the best rods on earth.
Welcome back to We Fish ASA. We Fish ASA is sponsored by the proud industry members of the American Sport Fishing Association. And we are just so darn pleased to have with us two-time in a row Bassmaster Classic Championship, Jordan Lee. Asked you last time, I was kidding you the last time you're on a year ago about, I said, you got a steady girlfriend, Kristen. I said, how serious are you? Does winning the Bassmaster Classic put that look in her eye like the size of that diamond has got to be going up now? How is Kristen with all this?
You know, I mean, she's really just proud. I mean, she, you know, travels with me now, and, you know, she definitely helps me reach my full potential. And, you know, I mean, we're practicing a lot, long days in the water, and, you know, just being there and having, you know, we had tough, you know, my practice was tough, and she, you know, kept me in it, you know, kept me mentally in it. And, you know, I definitely owe it a lot to her. It's definitely a team effort. You know, it would be hard for me to do by myself. We kind of laugh about it. We're like, how would I even do this by myself? Which I don't know. I mean, it's a lot of work goes into it, and I know that we make a great team. So, yeah, she's definitely my biggest supporter.
Did I hear you guys got engaged?
We did. I asked her to marry me last summer, last June. So, okay. We're excited. We're getting married in October of this year. So,
well, congratulations.
Definitely looking forward to it. Yeah. Thanks.
Hey, and that's good that you got engaged and got her a ring before you won the second Bassmaster Classic. Because if it was me in her shoes and you won that second Bassmaster Classic, I'd be expecting a diamond the size of a square bill crankbait.
I'm telling you what, I totally agree. I think she would too. You're right. I'm glad I kind of won it a little bit early. I'll take that.
That is fantastic. And seriously, best of luck with the wedding. I think winning another one, winning a nice elite tournament, cashing a check, would be a great wedding present.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think so. And we're just tickled to death. You know, I mean, it's been we've been really blessed the last couple of years, and we're excited to get married, and it'll be fun. We're both looking forward to it for sure.
So, Jordan, you won the Bassmaster Classic. Now you're back to fishing the rest of the season. How does that affect you mentally when you go into the next one?
You know, I mean, my confidence right now is just, it's really high, obviously, after winning the Classic. And, you know, just how I fished in that tournament, how I won it. I mean, you know, I know I wasn't really on the mother load, or I wasn't going into that tournament thinking I was going to win. So, you know, I mean, just be able to, you know, just go fishing during the tournament, and, you know, kind of figuring it out along the way. I mean, my confidence is really high the rest of the Elite Series, and it'll be fun. You know, I'm definitely excited to get back to it, and it's always a challenge. You know, it's they're as good as they get, so it's fun.
Unbelievable. I cannot imagine what's going on in your life right now, trying to keep your feet on the ground, keep your head down out of the clouds. Tell me what it's like. The scene was incredible. You know, this phenomenal jam-packed arena, thousands of people watching you. The fireworks, the music, it's just got to be mind-numbing. And then you walk off that stage, and you don't go back to normal life. What's your life like up till now? This is a week later. What's been going on with you for the week? That's you know, it would just surprise people to hear.
Yeah, so I mean, it definitely, your phone is the main thing. I mean, it's crazy, you know, how many calls you can get. I mean, I had, you know, 400 texts the night after the Classic, so, I mean, I didn't get to answer all of them, obviously, but, yeah, I mean, it's pretty wild after you win this tournament. I knew kind of what to expect, you know, because obviously winning the last year, I kind of got a feel for what it was going to be like, so, yeah, so I knew what I was getting into for sure. I mean, people tell you, you know, your life changes a lot after the Classic, and it does, you know. I mean, you're obviously, you know, on the top, kind of top tier of the sport when you win the Classic. And, you know, I definitely kind of got a taste of that this year. So I knew what was going to happen. But, yeah, I mean, I've been, you know, the night after the Classic, I mean, that night I decided to stay up a little late because I didn't get to last year. And I was like, you know, I'm going to enjoy it. But I had to be up at 5 o'clock in the morning and headed to, you know, do a radio, to go to Fox News and did that the morning after, you know, right at daylight. So, you know, it's a busy week, you know, after the Classic. I mean, I was just working a show in Maine, the last few days. So I just, I've been in an airplane all day today, and you know, it's just a lot of travel, but it's fun. You know, it's something that it's a good thing. It definitely is, and I've definitely enjoyed everything that comes with winning it.
I can't imagine. I'm sitting there watching the weigh-in, and pick up my phone. I got it in my hand. And I start typing. And my wife says, "What are you doing?" I said, I'm sending this young Jordan Lee a text message asking him to do an interview." She says, "What are you, an idiot or something? He looks like he's a little busy." And I said, "I said if he takes him an order, I want to be near the top of the line." And she says, "I hope you're not expecting him to pull his phone out of his pocket right now." I said, "No, I didn't think so. I didn't think that would happen." But I know if you went back and looked, you're like, "Oh my God, I can't! This guy's anal texting me so darn quick." And I even said when I texted you, I says, "Hey, we need to do an interview. I get hold of you in a few days after things slow down," because I knew what it would be. It's just incredible phenomenon where Bassmaster Classic breaks into the world of normal day-to-day stuff that's not fishing. You know, the Classic will get on the news, and that'll be the only time all year you'll hear about fishing on the news. Yep. or somebody will do a radio on a morning program that's not a fishing show because you won the Bassmaster Classic. And when people realize that, you know, you win a lot of tournaments and you know, the fishing press is after you and podcasts like us and radio shows are trying to get you. But now mass media wants to know what's on your mind and thinking that'll run you down to a nub.
Yeah, it's different, you know. I mean, it's different from just you know, winning you know, a local weekend tournament. You know, I mean, I'm just it's definitely mind-boggling. But like I said, I mean, I kind of knew what after last year, so I handled it pretty well this year, and it's been fun. You know, I enjoy that side of it, and you know, meeting new people, and just definitely one of the bright sides for me to just get to meet a lot of great people that, and you know, most of the people that fish, if not all of the people that fish, are just good people. So definitely fun.
That's the other thing, though. You're what, 26 years old? Or did you turn 27?
26.
Yeah, okay, yep. 26 years old, and you've won two Bassmaster Classics. You're in a very small group of anglers that have won more than one, and that's amazing in itself. Can you make any predictions? How many more you think you can win in your career? You really don't know, but it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, I promise you I would never expect to ever. And two already now. I mean, you know, it's definitely it's special. I mean, I know how hard it is to win one, and it's just fell into my place, you know, the last 2 years. And I mean, I could go my whole career and never have that happen again. But you know, I definitely, after you win one, you really want to win two. After you win two, I promise you, I'm going to be trying to win number three. Cause it's the best feeling in the entire world. But just for all the work, you know, all those days that your daylight to dark and you're just struggling and you're not catching anything. Cause that happens to me a lot. And, you know, to be able to put it together in those 3 days it's special and something that, you know, I'd definitely live for. So hopefully, you know, hopefully I could pull it off at some point again. It would be amazing for sure.
And as a young guy, you won, and do you have any idea what you did to all those college anglers? What you gave them the hope and a dream of their lifetime that you won a classic last year, and now you won a second one. I mean, you got to be getting so much contact from these top collegiate anglers that say, man, you're paving the path for me, and I believe now more than ever.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely possible. I mean, in high school, I fished a lot of local tournaments and kind of started that way. And then in college, you know, fishing at Auburn and fished 4 years there and, you know, fished against a lot of great college anglers. And, you know, it's just a great platform college bass that has set up where you can make the classic and you know, that's a big deal. You know, fishing the classic just in general and you know, being a college angler is one of the best programs out there. And my brother and I both did it and we learned a lot from it. And you know, it's just a great stepping stone, you know, just like it would be college baseball or whatever, if you're trying to, you know, college football. It's the same thing. I mean, you learn a lot. And in those 4 years, and it definitely, it's definitely a younger generation's coming up, and, you know, it's just like any sport. I feel like, you know, you have that younger generation, younger talent that comes in, and they're fresh, and they love it, and, you know, it's a lot of good learning experience. So I would bet to say, you know, in the next few years, you're going to see a lot more college anglers coming up and doing well.
Excellent, excellent sentiments. Jordan Lee, 26 years old. He's already over the $1 million mark in earnings in bass fishing, which is phenomenal. Heck, by the time you're 40, you'll have Van Damme calling you, asking you for a loan till payday.
I don't know about that.
No, I don't either, but it sounded cool.
Sounds good.
Hey, you know what, though? Dave and I are already, we've never been to Classic before. We're going next year no matter what. And nothing would make us happier to go to Classic and see you win number three. God, we'll be there for history. But I don't believe it's come out yet as to where next year's Classic is going to be. You haven't heard anything, and I assume you couldn't tell us if you did.
Yeah, I hadn't heard anything, honestly. I mean, I don't really ever get the inside loop. So,
what's your dream? Where would you love to see it announced? What's going to be?
Well, I honestly don't know. I mean, I've never fished the actual tournament on Hartwell or Conroe before the Classic, so I won both of those. So, I mean, if it's a new place, that's kind of what I'm looking forward to. Hopefully, it's some a place that, you know, I hadn't fished because it, you know, definitely, you know, the two lakes I had fish, I didn't obviously win. So maybe it'll be someplace new and I can, you know, continue the role, but it won't be an easy task. I know that.
I know it won't be an easy task, but man, this guy's up to it. He is a legend at the age of 26. We're happy to have him. Hey, best of luck to you. Win some more events this year. We'll check in with you later. Please tell Kristen hello from us. We're happy. We're very happy for her. And congratulations on the wedding. And say hi to that Matt. We're pulling for him to win one too.
I will. I'll tell him.
Excellent. Bassmaster Classic, 2 years in a row, Jordan Lee. That's incredible. Thank you very much. Thank you so much, Jordan Lee. That wraps up this week's edition of the We Fish ASA podcast. I'd like to thank today's guests, Jeremy Smith from Linder Media Angling Edge, speaking on behalf of our good friends at St. Croix. Joe O'Pager from FLW talking about that high school kids fishing clinic. That's going to be a really big deal. Two-time Bassmaster Classic winner, two times in a row. Jordan Lee, isn't he something else? He is the hottest stick in fishing. Wow. I'd like to thank our sponsors, St. Croix, the best rods on earth, Calcutta, makers of a line of products that fit your fishing lifestyle and passion, Costa Sunglasses, see what's out there, and Daiwa. Take a look at the new Tatula SV Reel and you'll love it as much as we do. Remember that We Fish ASA presents a new episode of our one-hour podcast every week. It's available 24/7 at iTunes via the free app from Stitcher Radio and at our website, wefishasa.com. If you like what you hear, please let us know. If there's something you'd like to hear us talk about or somebody you think we should have on, let us know that too. We're flexible and open to suggestions. If you've got something you don't like, let us have it. We're big guys. We can take the criticism. We love to hear from you. WeFishASA.com. We'll see you next week. Now let's go fishing.
I'm professional angler Kevin Van Dam, and people always ask me, what's the best and easiest way to catch fish? Well, that's simple. Keep our waterways clean and free of litter. You know, tossing your worn-out lures in the lake is not a winning move. Pitch them in the trash. Do your part and join me. Visit keepamericafishing.org and pledge to pitch it.